you welcome, Reverend Tully.
You ought to hip him. I heard one over there. Oh, it's Christine. Miss, good morning. And a happy new year. I think you go like this. I've enjoyed being here, and I really feel honored to be among you and help you celebrate last night as well as this morning. They said a lot of things about me this morning. I have no idea what they said. I hope it's all good. How many of you have been to Navajo country? You are all member of my nation now. You have to learn Navajo now. I heard somebody say Navajo is the official language in heaven. There's one already ready for it. He even has a Navajo name. Hey, man, it's good to be with you. But the message is a little bit different. I had sent an email to Martin about, I don't know if he got it, but it's these smoke signals, they kind of go a little slow. So. The wind blows this way, but it's... Yeah, today is so much high tech. It used to be so simple. It was just smoke signals. And I heard a mother tell her child, says, limit your calls to 3 logs. I grew up speaking and only knowing Navajo language. So I heard somebody say that our language, Navajo language, was the hardest language in the world to learn. I didn't have any problem. But English is hard. English is difficult. When we were going to school, we had a hard time trying to understand. Some of the words all sound the same. Some of them had, different meanings and so forth. And it was kind of difficult. Let's take like a quarter. It's either 25 cents or a fourth of something. So is it 25 cents or is it a quarter of something? Anyway, learning the language, I still have to think in Navajo as I translate quickly in my mind into English, and sometimes those come out very funny. Again, it's so good to be with you, and I wanted to share for, I think they gave me 5 minutes. Is that okay? No, I'm kidding. I'll preach till I'm done, so if I'm preaching after one, you can still go home and amen. I love God's people. Amen. I love to share the word with God's people. And especially with my own people, we do that, and a lot of them are learning. They're learning the Navajo language or the Bible in their language. It's all phonetically done. It was written down of what they heard. And they have to be taught. We have to be taught to read the Navajo language. So it's difficult. At times I had to compare it with the English to understand some of it. And I don't know all those little marks that just showed up there. But I wanted you to listen to how Navajo sounds. Many of you that have been out there, you've heard it. And somebody says it all sounds Greek to me. John 3:16, you're familiar with that, but I wanted to read it in Navajo so you can see and hear how it sounds. It's very, very complex, a language that we are proud of. Our young people are not picking up the language. which is kind of a sad thing. And now they're really getting into the programs of trying to reintroduce the language to our younger generation so they can pick it back up. John 3:16 goes like this. Hala, digin ga, no ka, and het, ah, you see, yo, yo, no. Yet, asai ba, is chinigi, and skim. Akudahe, that was tlangi, et odo, tisa. And the whole ago, in nabi holon rode. That's Navajo. Amen. I want to just read a little of Matthew 9. I just want to read one scripture, and then we'll go to a different one that I prepared for this time. But I wanted to just share with you a little bit of something that's going on the reservation. God is moving and making things happen. And there's a lot of breakthroughs. You saw some pictures of the people that are part of my team, and some of the places that you've seen is right where I live. Novel Country is a big place. It takes about maybe 5 hours, 6 hours to drive all the way across. So it's a big place. And there's a lot of us. When we were defeated by the Americans and incarcerated for 4 years, 3,000 survived. That's only how many survived. But now there's 350,000 of us. We're growing by leaps and bounds. Somebody asked me, why are you growing? Why are you all growing so much? I said, shh, don't tell anybody. I said, we plan to take America back. Well, Matthew 9, I just want to read verse 35. Because I was sitting there and thinking about what's taking place on the reservation. It says, Jesus went into all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease or every sicknesses and every disease among the people. A lot of teaching is taking place. There are a lot of programs, a lot of missions activities where the Word of God is being taught. And it takes a long time for people to really understand what the Bible says concerning them, concerning their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of that going on. And slowly, slowly, it's taking a lot of time for people to change. And the second thing that's happening in the scripture says is Jesus went teaching and he went preaching. Teaching to get to the mind, to change their minds, to try to get their thinking changed. And then preaching to steer the emotions and to awaken the man and so that he can respond to the gospel. There's a lot of preaching going on. Those of you who have been out there, you see, as you drive down the road, you see a lot of signs, revival, revival here, revival there. And you wonder if there's a lot of revivals going on, but most of those have been just preaching with not too much emphasis on teaching. I think our people go more to revivals, to the big tent meetings, than to regular church. Because of the emotions involved and the activity and the hype and a lot of music, a lot of noise, and that's why people are attracted to that. And we see a lot of that. And the third thing, I like what it says on the third thing, is that it says they were healing. Jesus went about healing. Healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. And well, When missionaries came and preachers came, evangelists came to our country, most of them did a lot of teaching. Like I said, it takes some time. There's a process that takes place. And then they did a lot of preaching, which is to try to get people to be excited about their Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do in their lives. That also takes some time for people to not just just touch the emotions, but to really go in deeper and really find who Jesus is in their lives. And the third one, when God really touches people in their lives, and if their physical bodies are affected, when there's healing taking place and their lives are touched, a lot of things happen, a lot of things change, and quick and more quickly. And that's what those three things, when we go out to the mission field, we want to do those things is we got to teach, we got to preach, and we got to touch people's lives with praying for them, and healing takes place. And I want to introduce Eugene and Rosa, which is standing. They already stood up, and you already met them, but they've been out to where I live, and they did some work on there, and you saw a peak there, and we climbed up there, and one of your family members didn't quite make it to the top. And the rest of us were huffing and puffing, trying to make it all the way to the top. But there's a pyramid there. It's the doctor told me to go up there every day, but I haven't done it yet. So, and so this past Easter, Eugene's father is a preacher, is a minister in Illinois, a place called Caffeine. No. Anyway, they asked me to come and do a series of services with them for Easter week. So as we were getting ready to leave, we were just about ready to leave when I got a call from the hospital. My cousin, who I grew up with, we grew up in the same house, and shared my aunt, Mary. I talked about her this morning. When he was healthy and young and felt invisible, and I tried to get him to come to the Lord. He just wouldn't do it. And he went through a lot of series of bad situations, wrong choices. And one time, as we was drinking one time, trying to cross the railroad tracks, he fell, and the train severed his legs. But he still wouldn't come to the Lord. And but that time, that time I was leaving for Illinois, I got a call from the hospital, and they said, "Your cousin is really in bad shape. Philip is his name. Would you come and pray for him?" So I went over there, and the rest of his sisters and family members were there in the waiting room, and I talked to them a little bit, and I went into the room, and he was just in bad shape. He had all kinds of stuff attached to him. He had all swollen up because they were trying to give him water to keep his blood pressure in check, and he really looked awful. And the doctor says, "There isn't anything we can do. There's nothing much we can do. We just need to pull the plug, stop the machines that was keeping him alive. There's not what he wanted to do." But his sister, my other cousin, says, "No, we don't want to do that. As long as we want to pray, and we have hope, and that he's going to pull through." So I went into the hospital room. I'm standing there looking at him, and what do you do when in a situation like this? And I talked to the Lord, and quickly in my mind is, what do I do? How do I pray? I would just maybe just try to do some words of comfort or do something. But at that moment, God gave me a spirit of boldness. And when my prayer changed, I began to talk to this man. I read him from some scripture, and I began to say, "Life, get back into this body." Nothing spectacular happened. I said, "You're going to get up, you're going to live, you got time to live and make use of your life." And he was in a coma. So I left, and I started on our trip with a group of my team members, and on our way to Eugene's a father. Yeah. By the way, he's Eugene also, so there's Eugene number two. So on the way there, it was snowing and ice on the roads and rain, but we just kept going, and we got to Tucumcari, and our car, my van that I'm driving now, all of a sudden he just stopped. He just quit. And just right in front of us, I saw a truck with a sign on the side. It says, "We'll get you there." He came over. We didn't ask him. He came over and he towed us to right across the way, just off the ramp, right over to a gas station. We could have been stopped in the middle of nowhere in the rain and snow, but he was right there where help was available. I believe in the ministry of angels. I've experienced so much of that. I have a lot of confidence. I can just get up and go, and I know angels will help me. I know they'll drive for me. I've told stories of driving for 100 miles. I went to sleep, and the angels drove for me. But at that time, I talked to the man, and he helped us. And we couldn't get the part we needed. We had to go another 100 miles to get the part we needed. But we got the car started. And I asked the man what his name was. He says, "Emmanuel." God with us. On the way to Illinois, we got to Illinois, and I kept waiting to. I wanted to hear from what happened to my cousin. And I got to speak and preach at this church. I keep in the back of my mind. I keep praying for my cousin. Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, I got word that my cousin got up and walked out of the hospital. Amen. God is good. He can do anything. You have to just believe, and He'll get the job done. That's the kind of God we serve. And when miracles are happening like that, people are believing instant. They're coming in. I want some of that. I want some of that in my life. So I really believe in the supernatural working of God, that He does that. When you speak His word, things will happen. And I believe that, and I want to share with you from Psalms 14 real quickly what kind of a strategy, some kind of a missions emphasis is how we can make changes in the mission field, and especially with my Navajo people, how we can make a difference in those areas. Wherever we do go on mission, we face some of this problem. Psalms 14 is an interesting scripture chapter. I was reading it one day, and the Lord began to reveal some things to me. He began to open my mind about some ideas of how to reach our people. First verse says, "The fool said in his heart, there is no God." Now, the problem with our country, our reservations, and the mission field is not so much as everybody saying, "There's no God." It's just that there's too many gods, or there's one God and all these religions. And as Martin had mentioned earlier, that one of the problems on the reservation is that our people are beginning to say all these religions, all these gods that people are saying, it's all the same God, and everybody is going to heaven. There's no difference. That's the problem we're facing. And it's a difficult, you go, any of you, if you go out to Navajo reservation and you ask a Navajo, "Do you believe in God?" They'll say, "Oh yes, I believe in God." "Are you a Christian?" "Oh yes, I'm a Christian." We've learned by answering in the affirmative anything that an outsider asks us that it's a matter of survival. We've learned that. So anything, we always answer in the way that people want to hear. So there are many books written about Native Americans, about Navajo people, and it's always written from the other side. Nothing was written from us. So we learn how to manipulate people, manipulate missionaries to get what we want from them. But this situation with God, I believe that one of the emphasis that we need to do is really introduce them to Jesus Christ. I was a young age, at the age of 5, I was introduced to Jesus Christ. And I gave my life to the Lord up until the age of 16. Then I strayed away for a few years because my parents were killed. I got mad at God. But knowing this is something that we got to know, is that we got to know who God is in Jesus Christ, the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name given under heaven, given to man, whereby one must be saved. It is Jesus Christ. And we got to put that emphasis continuously. And a lot of things take place. And I get upset at some of our pastors. They'll go have these big community-wide meetings, and they'll be sitting on the platform with all these other people who believe in this way, traditional way, the cults, or it's called Native American Church, which is a peyote cult. They're all sitting on the platform and says, oh, we believe in prayer. We believe in God. And I'm waiting for one of those, our pastors, our leaders that believe in Jesus, to stand up and says, no, I believe it this way. This is the true God. And they don't do it. It's upsetting to me. We just come alongside them and say, it's okay. You believe the way you do, I'll believe the way I do. It's that tolerance thing. So things need to change. So we got to emphasize that. Second thing I want to need to talk to you about, verse 1 and 3, and it's to, there's a lot of singing, a lot of activities, a lot of things going on to incite the passion of people, but nothing about conviction or the need for repentance or the need for confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. None of that is happening, and we need to see that happen. The third thing is to invite the presence of the Lord, to know that there is a God whose presence is there. A lot of people believe that God is everywhere. God is here and there, everywhere. God is all omnipresent. He's everywhere. But we got to get to a place where we know that God is working with us wherever we go. He shows up. He reveals himself to us. And this is what our people, the ones that are a core group that's experiencing that, and they're seeing that it's happening in their lives. And then involving the people of God, everybody. It's not a one-man show. It's got to involve everybody. And there's several things I want to bring real quick to you this morning. And one of them is the home. If our homes are intact, our reservation life, the homes of the families so scattered. There's a lot of fatherless homes. A lot of divorces, children. I was so excited and so glad to see last night all the children just performing here. There's a lot of children involved in this community, in this household of faith. But when you go out to the reservation, the only time sometimes the children are involved is when we have VBS groups come out. When your people, some of your young people come out, that's when they minister to the people. The rest of the time, the children are neglected. But if we can get our home together and our homes are intact, the scripture says, for God, verse 5, for God is the generation of the righteous. Generation means house. When the house, the home, is making right decisions, making right choices, when the family is intact, it will make such a testimony. So we got to minister in such a way that we reach the homes, where homes are coming back together. When we have church or revival meetings, a lot of family members are left home, and it's only the few, the adults, the elders, that come to church. We need to get to a place where people are calling on God, are seeking God. People say, oh, I'm a believer, I know, but they're not on their knees, they're not calling out to God. Their prayer life is very small and limited. So other things we need to do is show people the prayer life of a really born-again believer. Wisdom and right choices are good. That's what we need to continue. Where God is the source of all things. We have our people that are looking to government programs, tribal programs, everything to get things from for themselves to make a living. The initiative is not there. That's one of the things I really want trying to emphasize for my people is they need to do something for themselves and for the community, for their family, instead of reaching for a handout at all times. Welfare is so much out there. Our people are so dependent on that. I want to change that mindset. We need to change that mindset. That's not where it is. It is believing in God. My mom, who I talk about this morning, learned how to pray in everything. She prayed for food. She prayed for things, material things and other things for healing, and it took place in her life. She left a legacy of faith for us. So my family members, my brothers, all this, they never once appealed to the government or travel programs for any kind of help. They did it on their own. They have their own businesses. And some of you met already. My brother Paul, you know that. He has his own business. He never asked for help from anybody. And when God's people take ownership of evangelism, it's everybody's job. The Bible says that salvation comes out of Israel. Salvation, I want to see my people. I'm trying to make an example for them that we can take our people, our novel people, from there and reach out to the rest of the world and be evangelists, be preachers, be teachers, be ministers to the rest of the world. That's what I like to see. And I'm glad that you all doing that. I saw what was on the screen, what was taking place with your church. Amen. That's great. And when blessings flow from the home, from God's people, people are attracted. When prosperity, money, things that just God begins to build up his church and his people, things do happen. And when God's people are experiencing peace, stress-free life, and the scripture says Jacob rejoices. When people are living like that, it brings people in. When the land is healed, there's reconciliation, there's forgiveness taking place. When the land is healed, healing of the land is very important to the Navajo people. And I think it's everywhere. We need to see our country back in good shape, especially our Navajo people. I wanted to share that with you. I wanted you to be, you know, helping us pray. There's much to be done. There's a lot of things that we need to do. And I'm so glad that some of you have been coming out, continues to come out. And I want you to be with me. I want you to be on my corner, and let's get this job done. And there's so much more to do. And I'm seeing my people that I'm teaching that are coming to our training group. Our purpose of American Indian Bible Ministries is to raise up leaders in the community as well as the churches, whether there be Sunday school or personal leadership or community leadership, wherever we raise up people. Everywhere I go, I never put my people down, but I know there are some problems that they have, but I always try to elevate them. I'll try to exalt them. I'll always try to say, you know, our people are really doing good. And right now, I'm seeing that happen. I went to a missions convention in Louisiana, and 70 missionaries came together. We got invited. And every one of those missionaries came out. They were talking about how bad their situation was. The people are so poor. Our people are really needing this. We need money. We need you to give us. We need to to raise the support and all that stuff. Everybody was saying that. They were showing pictures of kids in tattered clothes and or no shoes. But when my turn came, I said, ours is different. Our people are doing good. Amen. I said, our people are learning. Our people are moving forward. And I've been expressing that in faith, and it's happening. Now, the people that you, some of the pictures that you see, they're spreading into the communities. Ernest, you guys met Ernest. He's so much in demand now. He's been everywhere on the reservation speaking and helping people. He's even up into the Navajo Nation capital. The president of the Navajo Nation calls him in, and he has prayer with him. That's how much our people, our community of faith is working. And you met Emma, one of our women's leaders. She's really taking the initiative herself and making things happen. She's reaching in the community. She's gathering ladies together and helping the elders and the children and different places. She's just reaching out. She's sewing blankets and quilts and giving them to the elders. Now I want you to be behind me in some of those things and lift them up even some more. Amen. We expect great things from our Navajo people. Navajo people, the word Navajo was given to us by somebody else, and it means a thief. It really means raider. Not the football team, but it means raiders. We will go into communities and raid people and take things, and we're still doing that, taking things, religion, words. Our language is made up of so many different terms. I think when I get back, we might start using some of the Chinese words. We say, ni hao. But great things are happening on the reservation. It's going to continue. We're going to take the world. We're going to win our people, and you'll be right there beside me. Amen. Bless you. Amen.